I sat on the couch on Christmas morning waiting for that first cup of coffee. Can I push that down a little bit more? You won't be able to see me. That first cup of coffee. My dad was the master of making perk coffee. Remember when we had to perk coffee? Oh, as that coffee perked, it just filled the kitchen with that wonderful aroma. I poured myself a cup and sweetened it with a little bit of sugar and canned carnation milk. Remember canned carnation milk? Some of you younger ladies along there, you might use it in baking. We used it for cream. And there was that nice little triangle can opener that made the little triangle shape. I poured some in my coffee. Then I sat down on the couch next to my mom and then my younger brother, he's about 19, my younger sister, she's 13. They come down the stairs in their pajamas and we sit around the tree. And the tree was piled with presents. We'd had some lean Christmases, but this Christmas we were making up for it. We all had jobs and the sky was the limit. We were so excited. My brother handed me a really big package, and I ripped off the paper and squealed in delight. New skates! I'm 22, and for the first time in my life, I have brand new skates. Now, I'm a northern girl. I've always had skates, but they were secondhand. There was always somebody else's name written in there, and I'd have to scratch out that name, maybe two names. Some years there were three names I had to scratch out there and put mine, because everybody, all the girls, had white skates. And that was one of the best gifts I ever got. And you know what? I still have them. I still have them. Some 40 years later, I still have them. And when I'm not using them for skates anymore, I'm going to get somebody to make them into one of those nice decorations, you know, that people you see on people's doors. So those are my skates, one of my best gifts I ever got. Well, see, there's a big gift bag here on the stage. And in that gift bag is a gift that God wants you to have. But I'm not going to open it just yet, because I have to confess something first. Now, if that didn't get your attention, I don't know what will. So you pay attention to me. I have something that I need to confess in a little bit. Now, I'm so glad that David's journal entries are part of the Bible, aren't you? He combines his worries and his doubts with his praises and his prayers. And I like when he adds in sort of his own little personal pep talks. So David has his verse. If you could put our verse slide up. This is the verse that I have taken to heart. I've acclaimed it many, many times throughout the years. And then recently, God just make it come alive in a whole new way again. So David says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's Psalm 27 and 13. This is one of David's pep talks, and now it's mine too. He sounds so confident that he'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I've been a Christian since I was a little girl. Well, I could say a littler girl, probably, because I'm still not all that tall, but since I was a little girl. And I feel like I'm supposed to have it all figured out by now, but I don't. Have you noticed, I'm going to pick on this younger generation, I see some young faces over here. Well, not that I don't see young faces everywhere, but have you noticed that the younger generation is so much better at being vulnerable and transparent? If their house is messy, they take a picture of it and put it it on Facebook for everybody to see? And when they're struggling with their toddlers with temper tantrums, they don't keep it a secret. They talk about it and they ask for help. I am of the generation that fakes it till we make it. Ain't nobody seeing my messy house, and I'm certainly not going to take a picture of it for you to see. I don't like to admit when I'm having trouble. What about you? So I need to confess something right at the start. I don't like to admit this, but sometimes I doubt God's goodness. I know it, because I lie awake in the wee hours of the night, fretting and worrying. What is it about the wee hours of the night that sends those crazy thoughts? Oh, has that ever happened to you? Something about the middle of the night that's just different. But God's been teaching me lots, and so I'm excited to tell you what God's teaching me. So what do you think might be in that gift bag? This is going to sound a bit like a commercial, but it's a gift that God wants us to have this Christmas that will make everything in life easier. A gift that will help us cope when things are terrible. A gift that will give us peace when those thoughts come in the wee hours of the night. So let's open that present and find out what's in there. Confidence in God's goodness. If we can have confidence in God's goodness, it will make everything in life easier. Why? Because confidence in God's goodness brings peace. And that's the wonderful gift that God wants you to have this Christmas. So I wanted to know what God's goodness was like. And I did some studying, being a good student. And so this is what we know about God and His goodness. God is the standard for all that is good. To say that God is good means that God always acts in accordance to what is right, true, and good. And goodness is a part of God's nature, and He cannot contradict His nature. So when I doubt His goodness, I doubt that He will do what is right and true and good for me and for those I love. So the first thing I learned is that I need to pay attention to my thoughts. What's going on in my head? And I've got some props I'm going to use today. First one I'm going to use is this lunch bag. Now let's see what's in here. We got a peanut butter and jam sandwich, two dad's cookies, oatmeal, and an apple. Maybe a lunch that you might have taken, a similar lunch like this that you might have taken to school. Okay, so now you remember, okay, what's in this lunch bag, because it's an important part of the next part of my story. My sister-in-law, Susan, is one of those people who has the gift of hospitality. Do you have some people in your life? Or maybe you're that person. She loves to feed people. And I've enjoyed her hospitality for many years. The last time we were there, she used her china dishes. We had those fancy little colored potatoes, like purple potatoes. She seasoned them with butter and fresh herbs. We had steak, a fancy salad, and perfectly steamed broccoli. For dessert, apple pie and ice cream. Now imagine if I showed up with my lunch bag and I said to her, "I didn't know if your food would be any good, so I brought my own." imagine how surprised and hurt she would be that I was doubting her goodness as a hostess? But that's what I do to God all the time. I doubt his goodness. I doubt his goodness in little ways, like when we fret about the weather and bad driving conditions, because we live here in the north and sometimes the weather can decide things for us. And then I doubted his goodness in big ways too. Like before Katie was born, I had two miscarriages. And I couldn't figure out how God could bring anything good from that sadness. And I doubt that I'm even doubting God's goodness a little bit today, because my mom's health is not all that good. It's declining, and I'm concerned about her future and my role in all of that. And so I'm concerned about that. So I doubt his goodness when I fret about all the evil in the world. If you watch the news, it's so depressing. We hear such bad things that are going on in our world, and it's really easy for me to doubt his goodness then too. And when I doubt his goodness, I don't have that peace. How about you, my dear? Do you ever doubt God's goodness, especially in the wee hours of the night? Do you wish that you had more peace too? I realize that I need to catch myself when I'm doubting. And so recently, I say one of those prayers regularly some days. And I say, oh, I'm doubting your goodness again, Lord, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm doubting your goodness. Please forgive me and please help me see your goodness. So I asked God, I said, so what's the next step? I want to have that confidence that David talks about. I want to have that peace from trusting in your goodness, and I want to see your goodness, like David says in that verse. I want to see your goodness in my day, in my city, in my world, and I want to be able to talk to people like you about his goodness. And so God gave me some ideas, and the first idea is that we have to build up that confidence in his goodness. And I'm so excited to talk to you about what I've learned. So I've learned that that confidence doesn't happen right away. It takes time, and it's something we have to practice, just like our lovely musicians. Even though they're really little, they've obviously been practicing and practicing and practicing until they got good at it. And you and I need to practice seeing God's goodness too. And it will be worth it. If we practice seeing God's goodness, we'll start to feel that peace. Because confidence in God's goodness brings peace. And God gave me four ideas that I'm going to share with you. Four ideas that we can all do to help build up our confidence in God's goodness. And then we'll get that wonderful peace. We get confidence from thinking about how God has been at work in the past. This is number one. I hinted that we'd had some lean Christmases. Well, my dad had a debilitating heart attack when I was 16 years old, and he wasn't able to work. And we were on welfare that first Christmas after his heart attack. But you know, we remember it as a good Christmas. It was a Christmas when we saw God's goodness, even though things were really tough. Why was it a good Christmas? Well, my dad was alive. He was there with us. We were happy about that. And we lived on a little hobby farm, and my brother and I cut Christmas trees. So I was 16 and he was 13. And we cut Christmas trees. And we sold them to a man who brought them here to the Sioux. Remember when the trees used to be on a corner lot? You might have bought one of the trees I cut. Who knows? Because we're around the same vintage. Anyway, my brother and I cut those Christmas trees. It was one of those winters. where the snow came and it was heavy, heavy, and then froze, and they were covered in snow, and we brushed them off. We had an old cross-cut saw that we used to cut the trees down. But we were so excited because we made enough money that each of the five people in our family had $40 to spend on Christmas that year. We had many other Christmases after with lots of money, like the ones when I talked about the skates. But we always remember and talk about that one as one of our good Christmases. So we get confidence from seeing God's goodness in his faithfulness. He's taken care of things in the past, so he will take care of today's problems too. Number two. Sometimes it's easier to see God's goodness in somebody else's life. I have a good friend who's quick to praise God for his goodness, but it's not because her life is easy. And my friend Jan says her crazy sense of humor is a gift from God, and he gave it to her because he knew she was going to need it to help her cope with life. Jan was diagnosed with severe rheumatoid arthritis when she was 30 years old, and she had a 1.5-year-old daughter. And then, sadly, Jan became a widow very young. She became a widow when she was 40 years old, and the arthritis symptoms worsened. Eventually, she needed numerous surgeries. To date, she's had both knees replaced, both hips, a shoulder, and one ankle is fused. So when I asked Jan if she had a story about God's goodness, she said, "I have lots, but I'll pick a good one just for you so you can share with the ladies." So this is Jan's story that she sent for you to hear. Jan had a lift chair, you know, those chairs that help you get into a standing position just a little bit easier. And one day she pushed the chair for the lift, but nothing happened. Well, something happened, but not what Jan expected. She saw sparks. Oh, no. And then she saw smoke. So she yanked that cord out of the wall as fast as she could to prevent any kind of a fire. Her daughter, now 13, helped her out of the chair. And then Jan leaned in and whispered to her daughter. She said, "This broken chair is going to be a secret. It's going to be a secret between you and me and God. We're not going to tell anybody else about it, and we're going to pray, and we're going to see what God does." So Jan and her daughter prayed, and 3 days later, she got a call from one of her best friends. And her friend said, "I just did something that might be really stupid. I don't know what you're going to do with it, and I don't know where you'll store it. Can you guess what I got you?" Jan said, "I couldn't think anything, so I just started saying silly things. Like I said, well, is it bigger than a bread basket?" And her friend said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "I was at an estate sale, and I bought you another lift chair, and I don't know what you're going to do with it." And Jan said she started laughing and crying. Sometimes we do that when we see God's goodness. And she told her friend about the broken chair and the prayers, and then it was her friend's turn to laugh and cry. And Jan's daughter got to see how God answered that prayer. And Jan says this story always helps her remember that God cares about all the details, the little ones and the big ones. And it also gave her confidence that God would be at work again. Now you might be thinking, "Yeah, that's great for you to talk about God's goodness, Dixie, but you don't know about the hard things in my life. And when I look at your faces, I know there's a multitude of struggles within this room that might make it hard for you to seek God's goodness. Maybe you can't see God's goodness because you live every day in a difficult marriage, or you know the heartache of infertility. Perhaps you have children who've made poor choices, or you may be estranged from people you love, or you may be in the battle with the deep darkness of depression. Maybe you've lived through the untimely death of someone you love. Perhaps you're dealing with a major health issue, or someone you love is. Or maybe you have something in your past that's just terrible, and no one knows about it. I don't know your struggle, but God does. And He sent you here today so that you could hear this simple message that can change your life. God loves you, and He wants you to have that peace that we're talking about today. God loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to earth to die in your place. We saw it on a slide already today. For God so loved you that He sent His one and only Son, that if you believe in Him, you will not perish, but have eternal life. And you would need to pray a simple prayer like this: Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I want to believe that you died and took the punishment for my sin. I want to turn from my sins and my worries, and I ask you to come into my life. I want to trust and follow you. And when you pray a prayer with those words, then you are part of God's family, and God will come and be part of your life. And one day, you will go to heaven and be with Him. And if you would like to know more about God, it would be wonderful to talk to you. You can talk to me or Joyce or anyone on the leadership team, and we would love to talk to you. Now, the third thing I have, any guesses what might be in this box? These people who live close, what do you think might be in there? Something about hearts, right? Well, in this, I only brought one, because I could have brought a whole bunch, but that probably wouldn't be a good idea, because they're love letters from my husband, Don. We only kept a few because, I was chatting with a few ladies earlier. When we were dating, we didn't live in the same city, and so we wrote letters. This younger generation has no idea that long-distance telephone calls used to cost a lot of money, and you would have to wait till after 11 to get any kind of a discount. So we wrote letters, and I was looking at this one. The postage is 17 cents. Yeah. Anyway, we wrote letters for years, back and forth. They would crisscross in the mail sometimes, but we wrote letters for years, and it was a great way to get to know each other. I got to know Don really, really well, and when he proposed, I was confident in his love. Now I'm going to put it back in the box. I don't want to get it lost. Well, you and I get confidence from reading the Bible. That's how we get to know God, because that's His letter to us. And when I read through these pages, I see that God's goodness is a theme throughout the whole Bible. And I'm encouraged because I see that many other women like me also doubted God's goodness. There's Eve and Sarah and Hagar and Job's wife and Lot's wife and Martha and her sister Mary and Miriam and Rebecca and Rachel, and the list can go on and on. But when I read God's words, I see his goodness and how he was at work in the lives of those people. And I learned something really, really important. That even though they doubted God's goodness, it didn't stop his goodness from being at work. And I'm so glad to hear that, aren't you? Even when I doubt him, that does not stop him from being at work. Now, we also get confidence from watching for his hand at work in everyday little details. Because David says, I will see the goodness of the Lord. That means we gotta watch for it and look for it. Goodness in the everyday little details. You know, things like when you stumble at the top of the stairs and you catch yourself and you don't fall. Like watching the chickadees at the feeder. Anybody else like to watch the birds at the feeder? And I marvel that God cares about the birds and knows when one of them falls. And you, my dear, are much more important than a bird. We see his goodness at the hospital, on those days when we get that extra kind nurse or the doctor is extra caring. We see his goodness in a beautiful sunset when he paints the sky with all that beauty. And we see his goodness in newborn babies. And wow, if that baby is your grandbaby, oh, we see his goodness in a whole new way. So I've learned that I need to watch for his goodness. And when I watch for it, I see it. And so almost every morning now in my little journal, just like David, I write some I write some of my worries, some of my doubts, some of my praises, some of my prayers, and I write how I'm seeing God at work. And I've been doing that for a little while. I call them 10 blessings. So I just write 10 things where I see God's goodness. And when I see God's goodness in the little ways, it helps build up my confidence. When I see his goodness in the little ways, then I have confidence that I'll see his goodness in the big ways too, because he's the same good God. And when I catch myself doubting, I say that little prayer and I say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm doubting your goodness again. And I ask for his help. And I want to watch for that goodness, because confidence in God's goodness brings peace. So I hope and pray, my dear, that you have been encouraged today, that God is good, he loves you, and he wants you to have that wonderful gift this Christmas, confidence in his goodness, because confidence in his goodness brings peace. My challenge for you and for me, because I'm still learning, let's watch for his goodness in the past. Let's watch for his goodness in other people's lives. Let's watch for his goodness when we read the Bible. Let's watch for his goodness in those little details, because that's what builds up our confidence so that we can trust in God's goodness all the time, when things look good and when they're terrible. Or when those crazy thoughts come in the wee hours of the night. So let's be like David and let's borrow his pep talk. So we're gonna end with a little bit of a pep rally. So let's say it together like we're really confident. Are you ready? I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.